The scripture reading this morning will be from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Again, it will be Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That was Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5.
Appreciate the God of heaven that allows us to come together to worship him in spirit and in truth. I do want to say it's good to see everyone here on this morning. If you're visiting with us, that you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here with us. For the last few months, we have been talking about working together. And we're going to close it out today as it relates to the goal that we have. When we consider the goal for the Christian, The goal for the Christian is heaven. And when we consider working together, we want to work together with heaven in view. For the last few months, we have had different men to speak on working together. And some magnificent lessons have been taught and preached. We had our gospel meeting with Brother B.J. Clark and did an outstanding job of encouraging us, building us up, teaching us how we can work together even more. And so when we think about why are we working together, when I consider this idea of working together with heaven in view, it caused me to think about how amazing eternal life will be and how God is actually the focal point of eternal life. Many, when they talk about heaven, they think about all of the things that they are going to be able to do. If you talk to the world, depending on someone's favorite hobby or what they're good at, I can just see them in heaven playing golf. I can see them baking in heaven. But we don't have that in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, when we think about the glories of heaven, we should be thinking about God Almighty. We should be considering being in his presence. We should be thinking about who he is, how we ought to strive to be more like him. This morning, I want us to talk about the beauties of heaven, the need to prepare for such a wonderful place, and working together with heaven in view. As I was considering this and thinking more about the beauties of heaven, it made me think about Revelation 22. Of course, you can go to Revelation 21, you look at a couple of verses there, and you'll get a grand picture. We'll talk about that. However, when you consider Revelation 22, there are some things in there that are just magnificent. Why? Because you get to see the presence of God, the face of God, the tree of life, no more curse, no more death. You stop and you consider those things, that it ought to already pique your interest. Why? Because the things that are going to be in eternity are not the things that we experience down here. And so I think about the beauties of heaven. What are some beauties of heaven? Point one. Our Father is there. The very fact that our Father is in heaven ought to really help us to be excited about going to heaven and being the people that God wants us to be down here. Our reward, our inheritance is there. What do we mean by our inheritance? We understand that the inheritance that God is going to bless us with is an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, and reserved right there in heaven. And it's for us. We have an inheritance waiting for us. And because of Jesus Christ, and thank God for the message we just heard from Brother Chad concerning the Lord's Supper, because of his sacrifice, him willing to do what he did, we have the right to the tree of life. We have an inheritance waiting for us. But turn to John 17 and verse number 3. In John 17 and verse number 3, one of the beauties of heaven is that we get to really see something. We get to know something. Jesus, in his prayer, before going to the Father, before going to the cross, had this to say in verse number 2 and 3. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus Christ came for us to know who the Father is. And when we get to heaven, we'll actually be able to be in his presence. All because of Jesus. All because of the plan of God. All because of what he did for us. And so some of the beauties of heaven is that we get to be in the eternal presence of Almighty God. You remember in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 20, we'll look at that later on, but just to allude to it, remember when Moses wanted to see God, and God told him, no one can see me and live. And so what did God do? God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. Why? Because he's a consuming fire. You consider being in the rock today. Jesus Christ is the rock today, and he hides us in the cleft of the rock. He hides us in Christ, because even in Christ we cannot see God, because he's a consuming fire. But we can see his attributes. We can see his characteristics. In Matthew 5 and verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Brethren, when we consider the beauties of heaven, we get to experience eternal life with God and the Lamb, Jesus the Christ. The tree of life. Remember in the garden when Adam and Eve, they were able to partake of the tree of life every single day, but they lost those privileges because they disobeyed God. And where did God put the tree of life? He put it in heaven where he is. Friends, why should we be working together? Because of heaven. Because of heaven, and thinking about heaven in our view, what better place to think about than the glories of heaven? What are some blessings about heaven? Revelation 22. Turn your Bibles there, verses 3 through 5. If you notice in your notes, spiritual death will be a thing of the past. Why is that so important? Friends, we're not talking about physical death. We're not talking about when life leaves the body, James 2 and 26. We're talking about when man sins against God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. No more will we be separated from Jehovah if we're privileged and honored to be there. Remember on one occasion, Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. We want to be part of the chosen. Some of the blessings of heaven is that no more spiritual death. Death will be a thing of the past. We'll be serving God. I was thinking about the worship services and how there are five actions of worship. And in all five actions of worship, you only see one that's continual, and that's singing. We're not going to be praying anymore. We're not going to be remembering the Lord's death. We're not going to be... just lost it. Not going to be giving. Sorry, I'm getting old. We're not going to be giving. We're only going to be singing, which demonstrates to us, brethren, that we're going to be right there with the Father, and all of us are going to be singing. And I find it interesting that even now in the church, Hebrews 2 and verse number 12, Jesus, our Lord, the Lamb, is singing with the congregation. He even partakes of the Lord's Supper spiritually. You remember what he said in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28? I will not drink it new with you until my Father's kingdom. Friends, we see all of these beauties about heaven. The question is, do we want to go there? Of course we do. That's why we're here. But are we seeing the blessings of heaven? There are so many blessings about heaven. Look at verse number 5. As I was pondering this and studying this, it made me really consider and ask myself, Mike, are you worthy of this? In Revelation 22, in verse number 5, here the Bible records, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, no light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Friends, did you see that? How are we reigning now? We're reigning in righteousness. And for this reason, the gospel is necessary. Paul would say that the righteousness of God is in the gospel, Romans 1:16. Jesus would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. God wants us to be a people of righteousness. And so it's that righteousness that's reigning. And that's that righteousness that will reign throughout eternity. Why? Because God is a righteous God. And so one of the blessings about heaven is that righteousness will experience. The righteous will experience righteousness throughout eternity. We don't have to worry about the unrighteous, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But brethren, we have an identity. We have one that truly loves us and wants us to be with him. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse number 7. And notice what is said here in this passage. Revelation 21 and verse number 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Notice the identity. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Many people are struggling with identity now. They don't know who they are. But as a child of God, we must know who we are. And God is going to give us identity. We have a father in heaven, and we're going to be his son. And we're going to have a new name, and that's going to be our name. We don't know what that name is. But brethren, one of the beauties of heaven is that we're going to have eternal identity. But it's only going to be for those who overcome. For those who overcame sin, selfishness, and Satan, they're going to be able to come over. Brethren, God wants us to understand and appreciate the blessings about heaven. But notice letter C. What are some of the baffling things about heaven? Some things that are just mind-blowing. I was pondering this, thinking about this, and wondering, you know, can you imagine life without sin? Can you imagine life without evil? Brethren, when I learned the other day of the mass shooting, another one in our land, it hurt my heart. And then to watch one of the fathers as he is explaining his emotions, and he said, I can't hate him. God wouldn't want me to hate him. And I said to myself, what a powerful attitude. What a great attitude to have. In heaven, we don't have to worry about those things. Look at Revelation 21 and look at verse number 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What does that teach us? It teaches us that we have something to look forward to. And you think about the pain that's in the lives of people, even today, even right now. When we enter into the gates and go into the eternal realm with God our Father, we don't have to worry about those things. Those horrible times that we know of will be no more. Why? Because the former things are not associated with eternal life with God. Brethren, that is something to look forward to. That's mind-blowing to me. And then if you look at Revelation 21, verses 9 through 21, and you consider the splendidness of the New Jerusalem, and my conclusion, and it's worthy of a conversation, I don't believe he's talking about physical things there, brethren. Eternal life, spiritual things. He's not talking about physical things, but he puts it in physical attributes and ideas in order for us to have an understanding, at least try to. I believe, according to Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, as it relates to his gems, his jewels, that he's talking about his people, those who have gone through the fire, those who have been chiseled out, those who have been through serious situations and circumstances in life, and they come out on the other side glistening, come out on the other side shining, come out on the other side holy. And so you look at all of the measurements, and if you go physical, then you're looking for a physical place. But brethren, where God is, it's not physical. It's spiritual. And if anything, it's enough room for everybody who lives through the difficult times, the sufferings, as a Christian, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, and they come out on the other side, there's enough room for all of us. And so the exclusiveness, the splendidness of the New Jerusalem. But look at verse 11. Verse 11 stuck out to me in my studies. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What is he talking about? The glory of God. What are some of the beauties of heaven? The glory of God. Hold on. We can be the glory of God right now. As a matter of fact, our lives are supposed to glorify God even today. And so when men see our good works, they will glorify God. They see the glory of God within us with our spiritual mindset, our character, which is honed and chiseled out from sin, from unrighteousness, from bad decisions, from being unwise. We come out on the other side with the glory of God. Brethren, there's so much to look forward to. Mind-blowing that God allows us to experience his glory. But look at Revelation 21, 27. We see the exclusiveness of heaven. The exclusiveness of heaven. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. You remember in Philippians 4, Euodia and Syntyche, and Paul would say by inspiration, Tobias, their names are written in the book of life. And I asked myself this question, even this week, Mike, is your name written in the book of life? I know if it is or if it isn't. I know if I'm on my way to heaven right now or not. I know God's word is clear. And when I live according to holiness, when I live according to his will, I can know. Why? Because God doesn't lie. It's baffling. It's baffling to know these things. Look at Revelation 21. In the first couple of verses, we see some other things that are just baffling, mind-blowing. The newness of everything promised by God. A new heavens, a new earth. We have a new body coming. We don't know what we're going to be as, but we know we're going to be as he is. 1 John 3, the first three verses. And everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he himself is pure. We don't know what we're going to be like, but everything is going to be new. It's going to be a new experience that we've never experienced before. People are always looking for something new. A new teaching. A new lifestyle. A new this. A new that. As a Christian, we're looking for this new heavens and this new earth, where Peter says in 2 Peter 3:13, righteousness dwells. That's what we're looking for. Looking for heaven. It's baffling. It's mind-blowing. But this new life, this new everything is going to require preparation. Brethren, it's going to require us putting in the work. God wants us to put in the work. Point number two, the need to prepare for this wonderful place. You're not just going to fall into heaven. You're not going to accidentally get there. You're not going to get a mulligan and you just get there. It's not going to happen. If we make it to heaven, if we're privileged to see the Lord's face in peace, it's going to be because of proper preparation. And no wonder Jesus would say, I go to prepare a place for you. Why do we need to prepare? Why do we need to prepare for heaven? Because God is holy. Brethren, I can't emphasize that point enough. I can't emphasize the holiness of God. When you're putting lessons together and you come across these teachings and you tell the Lord, why do you allow me to teach and preach? Because sometimes it just don't measure up. God is holy. God is set apart from sin. And so those who work on their lifestyle, those who work on their mentality, those who work on their spirituality, those who are resting in the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, taking in the Word of God, drinking the Word of God, eating the Word of God, living the Word of God, those are the ones that are prepared for this wonderful place. God is holy. And so God says, be ye holy, because I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm set apart. And so I can't go about making up my own holiness. God says, I'm holy. I need you to be holy. Why? Because I called you to be holy. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 10, we see something magnificent from the Hebrews writer. We see something magnificent from the Hebrews writer. God wants us to go to heaven. He wants us to live with him throughout eternity. He wants us to see his presence. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to eat of that tree of life, which is going to nourish us throughout eternity. Therefore, he corrects us. And those whom God loves, he corrects. Parents, teach your children to love correction. Teach your children to love correction. Teach your children to love instruction. Teach your children to love instruction. Why? Because it's in the instruction that we receive correction. And so God says, those whom I love, I chasten. But also teach your children, teach yourself to run after, to pursue holiness. Remember, if we're going to be in heaven with God, this beautiful place, this magnificent location where God is, we have to pursue holiness, without which no one sees the Lord. God wants us to see him. He wants us to see his face in peace. And so because of this, we're looking forward to this prepared place. Look at number two in your notes. It's highlighted. And it's highlighted on purpose. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, oh, what a blessing. We know that the place that he is right now is on the right hand of the Son of God, right hand of the throne of God, I'm sorry. And so I want us to take notice, because I've heard this on many occasions, especially in the denominational world. Well, no one is worthy to go to heaven. I've been meditating on that and thinking about that. And I said to myself, this morning, got up about 4, didn't get out of bed. I ain't crazy. but I got up and I said, that's not right. So I added this point. Look at Luke chapter 20. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 35, we're going to take our time right here. We're not going to discuss everything in the notes, but I wanted to get this point across, and we'll talk about it more tonight. But in Luke chapter 20 and verse 35, notice what is said here. And it's said by our Lord. It's in the context of the resurrection and the Sadducees trying to trip Jesus up again. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. He's talking about the sons, the people in time, if you will. But those who are counted worthy to attain that aeon of time, that age, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels. I want us to take notice of something. Jesus teaches us that you have to be counted worthy of the life to come. The question is, am I worthy of heaven? Let it never be said that, you know, I'm not worthy to go to heaven. As I was thinking about this, I was talking to Brother Stephen Aiken this morning, and we was having an exchange, and he said something that I really appreciated, and I got to read it to you, because we was talking about this subject. He said, if a just God says I'm worthy, I won't argue with him. If a just God says I'm worthy to come home and live with him, I'm not arguing. And I thought, wow. And when I read that, tears in my eyes, I'm like, that's right. Who am I to say I'm not worthy if God says you're worthy? Man could listen to man for so long that when God speaks through his word, he can't hear him. In Luke 21, at verse 36, Jesus is talking about the importance of watching your life. Why? Because if you don't watch your life, look at verse 34. If you don't watch your life, you can find yourself in spiritual trouble. Remember, we're talking about preparation. We're talking about going home being with God. We're talking about working together to make sure that all of us here, well done. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. The King James says overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And the day come on you unexpectedly. Brethren, we see that even in the church. And people just walking around haphazardly, not paying attention to their spiritual life, getting caught up in this world down here. This world is fleeting away. It's passing away. But look at verse number 35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore. These are the words of Jesus, our Lord, our Master. And notice what he says. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Brethren, God wants us to be worthy, but we must be counted worthy. And so it makes sense. Many are called, few are chosen. We want to be the chosen. Everyone who is in Christ has been called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14. But not everyone will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to hear those words. We have to hear those words. And so look at Revelation 3 and look at verse number 4. Here, look what our Lord and Master says. Our Lord, our Master has these words to say, and they're worthy of us listening. Revelation 3 and verse number 4. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not denied their, defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Brethren, God says we're worthy, but we have to be counted worthy. And so we want to be in God's presence, but we have to be in his presence now. We have to do it now. We have to live right now. We have to think right now. We have to have heaven on our minds now. It has to be now. Why? Because we don't know where death is. Imagine those 50 people almost who got up that day, didn't think nothing of it. Just in there playing some games, and here comes some nut who comes in there and he shoots up the place. Brethren, we got to be ready. And we have to be living our lives worthy of the gospel. No wonder Paul would tell the Ephesian brethren, Ephesians 4 and verse number 1, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called. Walk worthy. Walk worthy. Don't play with God. I can't, you can't. In Revelation 21 and verse number 24 through 26, why do I want to walk worthy? Because I want to bring my glory into heaven. Hold on. God, we're going to bring our glory into heaven? Really, when you think about it, it's his glory. We're just doing what he has said, and we added it to our lives. We thought about it. We meditated upon it. We believed it, and we did it. And so in Revelation 21, verses 24 through 26, notice what the Bible here says, starting at verse number 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut all at all by day. There shall be no night there. and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Brethren, did you see that? We're going to bring our glory into heaven. Why do I want to go there? Because I want to take what God has worked in me there. Question. Am I working to do that? Am I preparing myself to do that? How can we prepare ourselves individually? Friends, we have to be sanctified. We have to be set apart. And it requires the Word of God. It requires submission to the Word of God. It requires us doing those things. Heaven has to be in view. If not, then where is our view? What is our view? How are we viewing anything? How can we prepare ourselves individually? Look at letter C. By spiritually living for the one who died for us. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 rather, sorry. Notice what Paul says. He says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Why are we Christians? We want to go to heaven, yes. But we're Christians because of the one that died for us. Brother Chad, you said it right. And when you was looking at those Hebrew texts and reading those to us, I was saying to myself, yes, yes. Because of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansed our conscience from dead works. Why? To serve the living God. Why? So we can go home and be with God. And so we follow the one who died for us. We don't tell the master what to do. He tells us what to do. He tells us where to go. And when he tells us where to go, we say, we're going, Lord. We're going, Lord. So by spiritual living, by seriously putting to death sin in our lives, by seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and by sincerely working together with brethren to ensure all are saved. Brethren, I have a responsibility to you, and you have one to me. And it is sad. It is sad when brethren don't believe they have a responsibility to their fellow brethren. Grow up. Because grown folk do grown things. And so when I think about going to heaven, it's going to require me growing up. It's going to require me maturing. It's going to require me keeping heaven in view. And so we have to work together. Point three. How can we sincerely work together? Through encouraging reminders of heaven and the need to strengthen our faith to be counted worthy of going home with God. Brethren, we have to work together. But we have something in view. We have heaven in view. We have righteousness in view. We have holiness in view. We got to stick together by praying for one another that we develop trust and confidence in Christ. I told the young people in class this morning that it's going to require all of the spiritual strength you have to go home and be with God. It's going to take everything you have, because you have an evil one who is trying to drag you away. And one thing I know about Jesus, and he said it right because he's always right. He said, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And every time something is dragging you away from God, you better cut it off. You better kill it off. You better get rid of it. Why? Because we want to be declared righteous before God. We want to be counted holy before God. We want to be counted worthy of eternal life. And so we just want to go and be with God. Isn't God good that he gave us a taste of heaven down here? Brother Josh led us in singing. He picked songs that are very appropriate to the lesson this morning. Led us in a very respectful way, reverential way. God has given us a taste of heaven down here. When we come together and we're fellowshipping with one another, Malachi 3, 16 through 18, and we get to experience the glory of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. Brethren, he's given us a taste of heaven right here. When we take our righteousness to the world by preaching and teaching the gospel, we are going out there teaching, and we go hand in hand, working together, trying to help people see that Jesus Christ must be obeyed. Friends, we get a little glimpse of heaven down here. Just a glimpse. Turn to Colossians 3 and verse 16. In Colossians 3 verse 16, I wish I had till midnight. Because if I did, I would probably have Brother Josh come up here and lead us in another song because of Colossians 3:16. But we don't have till midnight. But look at Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3, verse number 16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Watch this. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You remember them singing in Revelation 4. Them singing in the book of Revelation. They're singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, singing to the Lord. Why? Because God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. He's worthy to be honored. And so we get a taste of heaven down here. And so what do we want to do? With heaven in view, we want to glorify God. With heaven in view, we want to stay away from sin. With heaven in view, we want to make sure that all of us are striving to do that which is right, for we are our brother's keeper. And so when we come together and we're talking to one another and encouraging each other, every now and then we ought to say to one another, are you waiting to go to heaven? Can you wait to get there? Why? Because the one that loves us and created all things is waiting on us. No wonder Paul said that he was in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to go home and be with God, but it's more needful for me to be here with you. I can understand now. And the older I get, and I ain't old like some folks say, because every time I say that, you ain't seen nothing yet. I understand. However, the older I get, the less I want to be here. And the more I get to know God, the more I want to be there. And it gets very frustrating when you have things that are trying to drag you away from the very place you're trying to reach. Question: what's dragging you away from the place you're trying to reach? Unless the place you're trying to reach is not heaven. Hopefully you're going to work together with your brethren and work together with your family to get them to heaven. Because if we miss heaven, oh friends, we missed it all. We just missed it all. We don't want a legacy down here if our names are not written in the book up there. But to have our names written up there and leave a legacy down here, what a beautiful combination. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, you're good to us. For that, we're thankful. We're thankful that we can work together with where you are in view. Father, we know that all of the beauties of heaven, they're magnificent, and we're thankful for that. But Father, we want to be where you are. We want to think like you think. And we want to live the way you desire for us to live. And Father, we ask that you give us strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to walk wisely and not as fools. Help us to always have the attitude of having heaven as our view. And when we do that, we'll help one another. We'll help those who don't know your Son, Jesus Christ, who are not counted worthy to hear well done. We'll help those to come to the knowledge of truth. Help us to do that. Be with this congregation. Pray to Father that we'll help one another, that we'll cling to one another, and that we'll love one another. Forgive us when we sin. Help us to have enough strength to confess those sins to you, to turn away from those sins, that we may be counted worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to become one. We want you to consider it. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord, and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. And yes, Jesus said that. The more I study, the more it baffles me that mere men would tell me that baptism is not necessary when Jesus himself said it. If you want to be saved, you have to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to Jesus' church, the church of Christ. It is necessary. It is necessary to be counted worthy. And to have heaven in view, you have to do what Jesus says, because God is speaking through Jesus. But you got to be faithful. It's not enough to just do that. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Now you got to live your life chosen and stay in that chosen state. And you'll see heaven. You'll see God. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you've lost focus on heaven. You lost focus on God. You lost focus on spiritual things. You just lost focus. Get back. Don't wait. Because one thing we do know, and we know this for a fact, that when the Lord comes back, it will be like a thief in the night. Don't get caught up in all this Israel stuff. There's no signs of his coming. When he comes, there's no sign. Be ready to see heaven and see God. As we stand, as we sing, I will save his invitation.